This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Rehab Up. I am one of your hosts, Maggie Morgan, and today we are talking about the season finale of season two. We've made it, folks. Season two, episode 21, titled Why Can't We Be Friends? And I am here, as always, with the one, the only, the absolutely stunning, fantastic, amazing Jacob Jones. How are you today, Jacob?
I'm good. And the episode title was Why Can't We Be Friends? And honestly, I only want to be friends with about two of them, and that's it. So I can understand why they can't be friends, because the rest of them are honestly lackluster, dull, not dull in the sense of dull, but dull, like, and a lot of other things. And so I can't wait to get into it, because this was a hot ass mess.
It was a hot mess. Like, everyone in this was, before we go any further, we need to welcome in our guest.
Yes.
You know him because he came on earlier in this season. He is one of the reasons that I started watching The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City in the first place. We have with us today the incredible Cameron Mullen. Cameron, how are you today?
I am so happy to be back with my little girl. thrilled to be here. I am good. I don't know if the listeners remember or if you all remember. I was like, barely had a voice the last time I was here. So I'm glad I'm in good vocal, better vocal health. I should never say good vocal health, but better vocal health.
I was about to say, actually, I could hear it a little again today, Cam.
I did have an evening last night, but we're here.
You want to know what's crazy?
We are
Cam,
here.
Do you remember what episode you came on? Do you remember what number?
It was early. I want to say maybe episode two or three.
Because this season started on September 17th or September something. And I'm like, how are we in March? Basically in March when this thing is going to be over. And it started in September. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
21 episodes this season. We'll get three for the reunion, which will take us right up to Jinja's trial. So I'm so excited. It's like, it's really, you know what I mean? It's like we finished the season and we get this whole, you know what I mean? We get season three early in a way.
Jacob, maybe we'll have to come on and just do like a little one-off trial update. Like when the verdict comes out, like we need to do a trial update and just talk about the charges and what ends up happening. Because like, I mean, I think we should just get into it, because she is now the only person left who has not cut a plea deal. The only person left with these charges who is not pleading guilty and getting a sentence. She's the only one going to trial. Isn't that wild?
That's so hot.
Everyone is, I mean, every single one of those, what are they, like the defendants, right? They're defendants. Is that what, mm-hmm. are they the plaintiffs or whatever? They are all, the people that have taken plea deals are, they're all throwing her under the bus. You know what I mean? Like they are all pinning it on her. I don't know why she's doing this. If she thinks like this is good TV and Bravo's going to have her back, it's like, you're going to die in jail. You know what I mean?
No,
like
literally.
You're not coming back. What did Andy say in the reunion? Like one charge is 30 years and the other one's like 25?
One charge is 40 years. One charge is like 20 something years. And then she was like, I don't know. You don't know. What?
Yeah. What do you mean you don't know? It's your life, Jen Shaw. What?
Yeah.
Po baby.
Oh my gosh. And okay, so maybe to get into the episode today, just to like keep us moving through, because we're going to, I think, like really, really talk overarching before we get into like the reunion preview. But like, you know, they had the little early stuff that they always do. It's like Lisa and John going to the Vita Tequila space, Mary and Robert Jr. But like, I feel like the episode really starts with Jen packing up her home. She's packing up the Shaw Chalet. Because they're downsizing. They went from a house with 9,000 square feet to a house with 4,500 square feet. And I'm in my, you know, 800 square foot apartment.
Like, literally.
All right, Jen Shaw.
It's very funny, but this whole scene when the movers came and when Jen Shaw was packing up and talking to the movers, analyzing the home, it was very funny to me because when they first stepped in, Jen basically gave them an update on the trial. Like, and I was wondering, wait, are these guys your friends? Because even if I had movers coming in, I would say, well, the reason we're downsizing is because, you know, the trial, they have a $2 million retainer and I need to downsize to save money. And I'm going through all of that. Like, I just wouldn't be so upfront with, you know, movers coming to help me and just be completely honest with them. But they were very about it. They seemed like they, you know, are updated with the trial and what's going on. And I thought it was very funny and very humbling. It was good to see Jen being humbled, I felt.
I mean, yeah. Is she being humble? I don't know.
I feel like this trial.
Advocate, she's like, I'm getting half of the house. I'm still going to spend $10,000 on movers. You know what I mean? And let's not forget.
Also, her
mom is like selling all of her possessions basically like to give Jen money. You know what I mean? I'm like, you should be in like an apartment. Like you need to put all this in storage. You need to be in like a 2-bedroom apartment. You know, it's like, I don't know. I'm like, cause didn't we get that earlier? Her mom was like, I'm literally like selling away like her 401k plan for like Jen's $2 million retainer. And I'm like, babe, as she's like packing up all of these shoes. And she's like, well, I'll pack up my own shoes in closet. You need to sell all of that. Like, what?
And she said, she was like, oh, I could do a garage sale, but I don't know if that's good with like the housing department in our neighborhood. I'm like, you can sell them on Facebook Marketplace, Depop, all these avenues you can sell your stuff. And you should.
On your Instagram. You could sell it on your Instagram, Jen Shaw. You have a ton of Instagram followers. Also, like, I just thought it was hilarious that she's like, you know, I'm really downsizing, trying to save money. As her second assistant is getting LaCroix for the movers. I was like, okay. All right, Jen.
Not assistant number two. Well, assistant number one is gone. So maybe this is her only assistant.
You're right.
Well, what if assistant number one comes back?
I don't think Stu is coming back.
Wait, imagine the plot twist with that. Imagine the like, oh, they're like after, say, you know, Jen Shaw's innocent and everyone in this case is like innocent, found innocent. And we see like season three after the trial end, we see like a reunion with Stuart and Jen. It's like, I would like get these alleged crooks before they became innocent off my screen. But yeah, very, very alleged. Funny. Allegedly.
Always and forever alleged.
Allegedly. We're not trying to get sued on this pod.
Between like this season and and just really quickly, and last season's Beverly Hills, I have heard the word alleged and allegedly more times than I ever need to in my entire life.
Literally.
But Erica Jane was cleared. Maybe Jen Shaw is in the same on the same path.
Well, Erica, is someone? I think she's being sued again for something, for some type of money.
It's only in California. They've dropped everything like in any other state. It's only in the state of California, where they're pursuing all of the charges
against her. So she ain't out the clear yet. And hopefully those Beverly Hills girls, they don't get off her neck because I like the heat on Erica Jane's neck. But also Jen, I feel as though was painting like guys, we're moving and we don't have that much money. And the mover said, well, it's going to be between 8 and 10. I was just like, wait, just the upset to Jen basically telling them the story. I don't know if it's for simply just to inform them and then them basically saying, well, yeah, it's going to be between eight to 10. If you let me know if you can do the math and you want to do it. Oh, she was like, oh, yeah, I'm doing it. I have no choice, but I'm paying $8,000 to $10,000 to move. Like,
she should literally she should be in a 2-bedroom apartment. She should sell all of her belongings. Just like apparently her mom is mortgaging her house for her. Like,
she have
she's
her
not
mom
willing to
in.
Do that for herself.
She better have her mom.
And she was
in.
Yeah. And she was like, I'm the one who does everything for my family. Like, what are they going to do without me? And I was like, maybe like have some sense. I don't know. I, and not to be like cruel about it, but like Jen just sucks. Like I can't, I hate Jen Shaw. She sucks so bad. Like she's great television and I just can't with her.
Honestly, I'm not a big fan of Jen Shaw, but I like qualities about Jen. And yeah, she's, when people say this thing of, oh, like this person makes good TV. Anytime I think of Jen Shaw, yeah, Jen Shaw's like irate, irrational, foolish, alleged, a criminal, and all these different things. Like, I feel as though this season Jen Shaw, I haven't really found this season Jen Shaw to be that much like TV worthy moments from her. But I mean, she got in Meredith's face, started screaming and bickering and stuff like that. But this season, I really haven't gotten, oh, TV worthy, great TV from Jen Shaw. I don't know. It just could be me, but I think I just have a high, not saying you don't, Maggie, at all. But I think just seeing these Housewives shows, you see all the different actions and like, oh, okay, this can fall. Like Jen Shaw's action this season can fall like on like the second tier of like greatness, well, with these Housewives.
I think the problem really is that, like, I mean, she gave us the best moment ever with her arrest. Like, oh my gosh, like, you know, that whole sequence is just wild. But then like she had to rebuild her image. So like ever since then, we've been seeing her in Abby Lee Miller wigs and like looking down sad, like painting. Like she's not really been, you know, like, I don't know.
Right. I mean,
Abby Lee Miller is coming for you. Abby Lee Miller.
My God. Well, oh my God.
She should bring a spoolie for Jen. She's doing her own makeup. She's got to get that spoolie.
Oh my God. Not the Abby Lee Mueller throw up. Not me saying Mueller. Abby.
No,
Mueller.
I heard that. I heard
oh my
that.
God.
I heard that.
That's like the Broadway me coming out. No, I don't even know what I lost my train of thought, but yes to all of this. To the Abby Lee Miller wigs. Yes.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So the next sequence that we get is Heather, and she is with her family. They are at the gravesite for her father, who passed away last year during COVID, so they weren't able to do a funeral for him. Cameron is making a very large, shocked face. Cameron, take it away. Talk about it.
I mean, this was probably my favorite, like, moment. This episode might have been, like, in my top three of the season, just because I think, like, the Mormon culture that is tied in with Salt Lake City is one of a kind. Like, no other franchise is really super, like, intertwined with the religion or, like, the faith in the community. It was just, like, so sad, I think, to see, like, this person that was so conflicted, you know what I mean? She's like, I love my father and I love my family. And, like, I do love being a Mormon, but, like, the Mormon faith and, like, what it stands for and what it's about, like, doesn't align with me. And like, she's just, it was like this full internal struggle. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just thought it was so beautiful, but also heartbreaking to watch. You know what I mean? To see this grown woman just like going through, I don't know, this like this rediscovery. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I think what killed me, I wrote it down. She was basically like, she still wanted to make her father proud. Like, if it was between choosing her own life or like being a Mormon, making her father proud, like, she still wants to make her father proud. And I'm like, wow. Like, to have that much control. I feel like Mormon culture has so much control over these people. And that's like any organized religion, mm-hmm. I guess. But it was just so interesting to see it on television, you know?
And Cameron, her mom came and left.
Right.
Like, came to the service and turned around, got in her car and left.
Right.
Like, that had to have been so heartbreaking for her. When I saw that, I was like, that is devastating.
Right.
The idea that you can have a memorial service for your parent and the other parent specifically comes and leaves because they do not want to be around you or a part of it.
Right. Right. I mean, is the brother's name Billy? Am I making that up? I don't remember her brother's name, but the fact that like the one brother still has the relationship with the family, but Heather doesn't, you know, but that was all because of like, she's vocal about it, like so open and vocal about it. They're mm-hmm. basically like,
she's okay, on the show.
You, mm-hmm. Right. You cannot be a Mormon, but like, you have to say hush hush about it. But because you're so open mm-hmm. with it and on the show, like, we're just fully going to basically excommunicate you. Like, I don't know. It was the part that like had me in tears is when she said, you know, my dad, we always would say like, as a family, we're all going to be at the table, like in mm-hmm. heaven together. There's like mm-hmm. enough seats for us in heaven or whatever. And she's like, my dad's, I know he's so upset because he's thinking like, there's not going to be a seat for her. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, just grappling with all of that has got to be so difficult, you know, for her. And I'm not a religious mm-hmm. person. You know what I mean? Like, grew up in the church, but whatever. I don't know. I just like, I really felt for her. I think just for someone that's like, yeah, I don't know, just like fighting with the decisions that she's made in her life. And I think ultimately she knows she's in the right place, but at what cost, you know?
Yeah. I thought this scene was, I have two conflicting thoughts while watching this scene. Firstly, I want to say, super sweet scene, very genuine. I love that her brothers came. I love just like the support that she had. And even though her family members weren't there, it seemed like Heather has a great like village around her with you know, her daughters, her brother, and their, and, you know, business partner and friends like that. Very sweet. And I loved mm-hmm. what Heather was saying and what Cameron kind of reiterated when she did say in her confession about like the seats at the table. They were like, oh my God, that broke my heart. Cause it just felt, you could just tell even saying that, I thought tears were going to erupt from her face. But something just could not stop nagging the back of my neck when I saw this scene and I saw Heather berate Meredith over where, when, and not why, but why about Meredith's father's memorial. And I am like, I know these two scenes mm-hmm. can't be that far apart. And this was kind of like a memorial, you know, because they couldn't do the funeral. He died a year mm-hmm. ago because they couldn't do it because of COVID. And this was in a sense of memorial. And I just could not, like, you could have had some compassion and told the other women, hey, it's none of our business. Like, this is her father. And that just did not leave me while watching this scene. And it annoyed me that I even thought of that, because I'm like, this is such a sweet, pure scene that this damn, if I didn't stand Meredith like I do, then I probably would not be thinking this. But I was like, damn it, Heather, mm-hmm. you could have, in a sense, even if you don't like Meredith that much or X, Y, and Z, you could have, in a sense, in that moment, being like, this is too much. This is regarding her father. Like, let's keep this out of it. And you did it. And so that's what was irking my nerves. We're guarding like this whole thing, but very sweet, very pure. And I love her words.
I mean, the fact that this entire, not the entire season, but the second half of the season basically like was about
literally
Meredith and whether or not she was being honest about her memorial when like Jin Shah is going to prison. You know what I mean?
Yes!
We basically yes! were like, yeah, you know, whatever, who cares? Like, let's forget about that. Like, we're so hyper focused on whether or not what date it happened and at what
literally
like, leave this woman and her dead father alone. Like, we have bigger fish to fry. Yes. It just like, as a viewer, I was like, this makes no sense. Like,
it's because they are all terrified of Jen Shaw. And they all know that they can pick at Meredith, and she's not going, the worst she's going to do is be like, I am revolted. Like, she's not going to like get in their face and punch them the way that Jen Shaw would, you but know? Like, so like their Meredith is the easy target for them versus someone like Jen. And especially people like Heather and Whitney, who don't necessarily have strong senses of self and are deeply like afraid of Jen and like her wrath, you know? And I hesitate to use the term afraid about Jen because she is a woman of color. She's talked about before earlier on the season, like this season and last, about how that type of language is really detrimental to her. But like Jen has shown she is willing to get physically violent. Like she almost punched Lisa Barlow in the face on that bus. Like she is somebody who they are very, very intimidated by. And I think that that's just the core of it.
My just like thoughts and prayers go out to the driver of that Sprinter van. He has been through so much this season. Like, I feel for him.
No, literally. And the thing is, I do think they are afraid of Jen, but I'm looking at Meredith, like Jen's mad, like, yelling, screaming, like getting in your face. Okay, but Meredith's mad. I get scared. Like, just like the look in her eyes, how her voice goes like up an octave and also cracks in an octave. It's all very scary to me when Meredith gets pissed off. And so I would not mm-hmm. I would take Jen Shaw madness screaming over Meredith like scaring the shit out of me, because I'm like, what the hell are we gonna do? Like, literally. But I do think that is a part of the reason. But yeah, that's just my kind of mindset regarding that scene. I'm just like, we had a whole criminal on the run for 2 seconds even allegedly, and we're going after a woman about her father's memorial. Like, let's get it together, folks. Like, look, come on. And so I can
understand that. I can't. I didn't think about that in that moment, but I fully.
You should not have. I mean, because that scene was like isolated in like the emotions of her father. So my mind just went there because that pissed me off the most this season. Like, it was just disgusting how it was done. And so that's why I just could not stop thinking about that when Heather was having her memorial, even though I should have just been in the moment and, you know, seeing the words and the love and the emotion and the tears and whatnot. But that thing would not stop bothering me regarding that moment. So
I'm right. I mean, I get it. I support you 100%. I support you, bitch. Nina Marlo. I support you.
I support you, bitch. That was a funny moment. That was a funny moment.
Okay, so the next scene that we get is Meredith and her family. They're all doing a big photo shoot for her brand, for her jewelry line. And they're all with people from GLAAD. And they're all in these, like basically like jewel toned sort of like, it's a rainbow palette of these suits that they're wearing. And they all have their jewelry on. Brooks is there. Her daughter, Chloe, is there. Her husband, Seth, is there. They take these gorgeous photos in the mountains. And then they all have shirts at the end that say LGBTQ rights, ? I'm engaging. And that was a scene that happened.
They all look very good. Like the mm-hmm. marks, the suits all looked very, very good. Very good. Actually, one of the guys that was there, he's friends with one of my really good friends. Well, I don't know how close they are, but he's friends with one of my good friends, and they were actually on vacation together like a month ago in Vail. I was like, when I saw him, I was like, oh my gosh, that's homeboy. Yeah. And I got the intention. But so Meredith, like, they did the whole thing. Meredith had a confession, and I don't remember exactly what she said because I took my notes on my laptop, my other laptop. But I think this came from a very pure place. She confused me with some of the wording the worst, as she said in her confessions.
She said, okay, I wrote it down, Jacob.
Okay.
She said, Brooks is going on his own journey and she loves him and she accepts him at every level.
That didn't confuse me. That's a supportive mother.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
You had more?
No, but I was saying, I thought that that's what you were talking about in terms of just the quote. I didn't know that you were confused,
It wasn't that. It was basically her saying like labels don't need to be included, which I understood it. It just confused me. But I like the heart behind it. I like the mission. I think they all look good. I thought Brooks was funny, him and Chloe in that one scene together. I thought that was fucking hilarious, freaking hilarious. And I thought it was they all looked very good. Yeah.
I think what tickled me about this whole sequence of events. I mean, first of all, I want one of those t-shirts. Like, Meredith, if you are listening, please send us a shirt. Okay, you can find me. No, I'm just like, whatever.
I want a suit.
Which I don't think those were Meredith Marks's collection.
Or Brooks Marks?
Oh, no, because okay. Remember she said she was like, we can't get any makeup on this.
Makeup on
very bad. They must be renting these or something. Like, Rent the Runway. I don't know. I think what tickled me the most is like, we're doing this entire shoot for GLAAD, but didn't we say like earlier on the season when Jen was, you know, when Meredith was upset with what Jen had said, you know, or whatever, like the tweets, didn't we say that like, well, Brooks isn't even like, we don't even know what Brooks is and he hasn't even said anything or whatever. And I'm like, it just tickled me. I think as a gay man, I was like, this is funny because we're doing this full GLAAD shoot and like including her son who is not gay ? Or not out question. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Kim, I thought, okay, so this is why I think I brought up that quote, Jacob, because I thought that maybe, like, when I saw she was teasing photos of this, I was like, oh my gosh, maybe Brooks is going to come out and they're going to be like doing this photo shoot. And then, like, it was still very vague, which, like, absolutely is his prerogative, you know, completely.
Yeah.
But, like, just sort of going back to what you were saying, Cam, about how it's, like, what, like, there is vagueness and oddness around all of this in general and, like, the discussion. Like, this was actually a moment when I wish I would have had a Brooks confessional. Like, I would have loved to hear this come from, like, I would love to hear his take on what it meant to him and, you know, all of that.
Yeah. I can see the confusion now. I guess when I first saw that moment, I didn't really think anything of it. I was just like, okay, like they're having this. I just thought Meredith was like a super ally, captain of the allies and wanted to part up with GLAAD. And so I didn't really think, and like Brooks was there and this could have been, who knows, but I didn't really think of it. I was just like, oh, this is very cute. Then partnering with GLAAD.
I mean,
what Meredith said in her confessionals confused me probably more, but yeah.
All I have to say is this is a family who poses. Okay. That's all I got to say.
I saw a photo of Lisa Barlow and her son looking at a computer screen. I was like, oh my gosh, she spoke into existence with her own family.
Oh my goodness. Well, okay. And I do need to say this now because I don't want to bring it up because we're going to get into so much, but Seth Marks has a lot of fucking nerve to do this GLAAD photo shoot and in the next sequence be in a Reagan Bush 84 shirt. Seth Marks, know your LGBTQ history, know about what Ronald Reagan did to the men in the 80s with AIDS, and then talk to me. Like, that's bullshit. I'm sorry. No, absolutely not. Like, I was like, really, really? Like, I mean, I love it that he was being supportive seemingly to his son and his family and that he was a part of the GLAAD shoot. But then it's like, educate yourself. Like, if you're going to do something like this, don't just pose for photos. Educate yourself. That's my little rant.
Newsflash, Reagan did nothing for the gays in the 80s.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, exactly.
I don't really know my history, but I didn't really think anything of it. But I did see her tweet. But it's another moment that he did that made me kind of like him that I will speak about later.
The Seth?
Wearing the shirt?
Yeah, Seth. Yeah.
Wait, wearing the shirt made you like him?
No. I said he did something else. When Mary left, she said when Mary said in her after show interview, she said that the only person that came and checked on her when she walked out and got the glass thrown was Seth. And I was like, I like that.
Yeah.
Justice for Mary, everybody. But we can get to that. We can get to that. We just need to dedicate the last like 10 minutes of this pod to just like say nice things about this.
Yeah, like eulogizing Mary's time on the show. Okay, so the next sequence, I like really don't want to talk about it, although I feel we
can
must.
I do my computer down the screen? Like down the
screen.
I can't.
Disgusting. This was disgusting, you guys. Okay, so first off, Whitney's in this like bodysuit, but she has to have a mic on. So literally her mic pack is in her butt crack. Okay. I don't know if anybody else picked up on that. Full in her butt crack.
So creamy.
The bodysuit does not look tasteful. Like, and look, I don't mean like it does, it's like too revealing. I think it looks cheap. And then her husband, like, they're like, he comes in and she's like, I set this up for you because we're not going to have boring sex tonight. And then they like go upstairs and like are making out and she like poured champagne down her boobs. And then she comes out in these nipple pasties. Oh my God. Take it away. Oh.
I can't take it anywhere, Maggie, because when I saw previews for this scene and when it happened, I had my screen watching it on one side minimized, and then I had the notes app on the other side. I dragged the notes app to cover whatever the hell was going on the screen. I did not watch that. I was like, I was at a hotel, and so I was like in a hotel lobby. I was like, I can't watch this out in public. So I didn't see. I was like, I am not doing this. But it is something, honestly, though. I like when we're talking about like sex, I like very fun and tasteful things. And so if someone were to throw a little chocolate syrup or pudding or worms or anything like that at me and we like start getting at it, I'm here for that. But I just could not watch this scene. I was like, I'm not having it.
Also, like, Justin is this too old.
This podcast just got X-rated. Okay.
I'm concerned about worms. I hope you mean gummy worms, right?
I was talking about like gummy worms. Yeah, I love gummy worms. Okay, so even honestly, now my mind is thinking about real worms and imagining them crawl.
Enough.
I did not sign up for this.
This is my wildest dreams.
I've got loaded up. I've got a hot take for everyone here. A hot take. I have had, shout out to the people that I've, you know, dated in my life, in my previous lives. I got a thing for an older man, and I don't know what it is about Justin, but it does get like, you know, like I tingle in places. And honestly, when like his clothes off, I wasn't mad. I know. I mean, I hated the whole thing. I hated the whole thing, right? I hated this whole setup, but like, I was not mad. And did I envision like Justin smacking my ass? I was like, I don't want to be painted on. I don't want this, but like the smack of the butt, I wasn't mad at it. I was like, that's a man who knows what he wants and like takes charge.
Anyway, you're being thrown away with that clip. And honestly, I'm about to say, honestly, like I'm about to agree with Cameron. Absolutely not. I was about to say, because in housewife shows, sometimes they show these like cringeworthy. Well, to some people, they're cringeworthy. To Cameron, they're turn on-ish. But they show these clips of like women in the sexual, like getting jiggy with it. And I just think that's so, like a cameraman is in the room, like, okay, basically do foreplay. And I'm like, how awkward, like, come here, date. Like, that's so weird.
I feel bad for the camera person for sure. Like, that's got to be awful. If there's like a producer in the room, I mean, just horrific. You know what I mean? Horrific for those people. But for,
not for you.
For the few that are on the same page as me, I think they enjoyed that.
The daddy hunters.
You know, Whitney is hot and heavy for her husband.
Right. And like, he's also hot and heavy for his wife. And I think that's what's so attractive is like, He is so into his wife, who I think is like fucking like a bimbo. You know what I mean? Like Boo Boo the Fool. Like that's what I think.
Boo Boo the Fool.
Not Boo Boo the Fool.
And so like, I think it's nice to see
Jacob
someone like so, so dedicated, you know what I mean, to his woman. And I'm like, wow, Justin could be so dedicated to me.
Me? Ew.
I know. It's cringe. Justin, if you're listening.
Not Justin smacking Cameron's ass.
Hit me up. We can just even get drinks. You know what I mean? And just hang. Like, I just love to hang.
Wait, if they asked you to be like a third party, would you do it?
Well, I'd have to ask my boyfriend. But I think, you know, who can say? I think it would
be
like
what you would do in that situation until it's happening.
It would be like, it would be like a hall pass. It would be like a one-time thing.
If they were
like
Justin's a one-night only.
I was going to say, that's the person you pick, Cam.
I can't stop. Mute him. Mute.
Honestly, you guys, like, I don't really care about celebrities. I only care about like housewives and house husbands. So like a Bravo celebrity would.
You think that Justin is more handsome than Coach Shaw?
Coach Shaw. I think Coach Shaw is very attractive. I just don't know how anyone could like be in love with Jen. And so it's just hard for me. But also Whitney is like Boo Boo the Fool. So
yes.
What am I saying here?
Exactly.
I don't know. I'm conflicted. Let's stop before I go too far down this rabbit hole.
Yes, we are gonna stop.
Oh my god.
Oh, okay, down the rabbit hole. Okay, so, Maggie, please take it.
We get to the Vita Tequila event. Lisa rides around. She gets there in her little green car with John. And let me just say, Lisa Barlow, forever and always. You know why I love Lisa Barlow? It's because she is camp. She is. She's camp. She doesn't know she's camp, which is why she's camp. Like, she thinks she is the chicest, smartest, coolest, most badass woman in the world. And the fact that she genuinely thinks that is camp. Like, that's all I have to say about it. Like, Lisa is insane.
She's insane. Yes, yes, yes.
Her trying to explain. So she, no, go. Please go ahead, Dad. Please.
No, but I was just going to say they're debuting like diamond encrusted Vita tequila bottles. That's why they had this party.
Her trying to explain the theme of 80s, but it's not the 80s. And no one understood, like no one came in the right outfit. It, like, none of it made sense. But she was like, I hate costume parties, but like you're throwing an 80s themed party, but high fashion, but also fast food. Like it was like, you know, like it was fast food. Like it was all basically fast food, but not the high fashion fast food. I'm like, you should have just had Taco Bell. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, what is going on, Lisa?
At
what
least lean in.
Lean in. She loves Taco Bell.
Heather and Whitney on the episode, they were talking shit about the food. Well, Heather was talking shit about the food. She was like, Lisa, you own a PR company and a liquor company, and this is the type of food you had. So there's that.
I mean, yeah, but you're right, Cam. Like, everybody looked
insane.
Like they were going to a completely different event. Like, right, everybody looked. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Awful. And Jen Shaw is like,
I didn't get
in
her
this
outfit.
Like Chanel, like, wrap on
it was
like,
very and like kit. Very
oh very earth the kid
yes
very,
so. Yes
yes
and like which is like 30s and then like Heather is in like Mary I thought looked the most 80s, you know, she was in her blazer and her cute little like multicolored skirt.
Sure,
but I did
like
think
that.
She was like a bit on the nose, but Lisa wouldn't have liked that. She like she looked like Cindy Lauper in like a musical show. That's what Mary looks like.
Yeah.
And but Whitney was like, or but Lisa was like, nobody better come looking like Madonna. And then like, but then Lisa was in this horrible dress. I was like, what is going on with this outfit? She should have worn that lime green blazer dress. Like that's the Lisa Barlow staple. Yeah. But yeah, it was just all wrong. And oh my God, Mary is there and she goes to get a drink and she's like, oh, I don't want the tequila. I don't want the tequila. And in her confessional, the producer says, why didn't you take any of the Vita tequila? And she said, well, it tastes like water. The tequila is like Lisa. It's like blah. And it puts a weird taste in your mouth after. Mary Cosby.
Oh my God.
There will never be another Mary Cosby.
I don't know if there is someone that's come in for only two seasons and left as much as an impact as Mary Cosby will be leaving on Salt Lake mm-hmm. City. I mean, also before that whole tequila bit, Mog, it just brought me so much joy. She walks in and basically looks directly to the camera and says, why do I not know anyone here?
I love that. I love that. Like,
oh my God. It was incredible. It was so incredible to watch her literally kind of saunter in. She was the last one in.
Not saunter. I haven't heard this is Potomac.
Saunter on in. Deal with, I mean, I wouldn't say, I don't even think she was like causing the ruckus, like just dealing with everyone coming at her and then sauntered right back out. Like she probably was there for maybe 30 minutes. Like she have been there for more than 30 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, can we get to the part where there's the scene? I mean, I think this is like the whole, I feel like Mary really just commanded the end of the episode. Yes. But it was uh-huh. Mary's, she's talking to Sharif and Sharif is like, you know, thank you so much for letting Jen come to the church. I mean, it was a little dark because she's like, well, yeah, they follow me. They listen to anything I say. They showed kindness because yes. I'm kind. And it's like, oh yes. My God, what?
I did hear that, and I was like, wait, Mary, don't do Mary. You could have said that better. Like, you already know the Mary, accusations that are facing your church. And for you to say it like, oh, yeah, like, I can understand, like, the head pastor, like, oh, they're going to go after, like, is she the head pastor at that church?
She's the cult leader, yes. She is the alleged cult leader, yes.
The head pastor.
Alleged cult leader. Hey, alleged. You guys know I am Team Mary, but I will also be real with my face. Cam,
I think that it's clear that you didn't listen to last episode because Jacob and I went into an in-depth conversation about the language around calling Mary a cult leader and all of that. So check that out if you haven't, because we're not going to use that term on this podcast. We're going to be respectful of Mary in that way, but
Cameron's like, but wink, wink.
cult leader. Allegedly.
But I thought this moment was a super, like, so cute because Mary does have the accusations of a cult leader. But I also did love the fact that Sharif was saying that, like, yeah, the people at your church came to check on Jen. They were so kind to Jen. I was like, and even though she did have that part where she said, oh yeah, they listen to me, they do what I was like, Mary, don't go that direction, please. I still like loved that aspect because I think it painted Mary's church as like a loving place, or at least like try to in my mind. And I think it was kind of like a different turn of events where we have seen her church and painted in such like a dark light. And I like that. I like kind of seeing, mm-hmm. it was very sweet to see her and Sharif have that interaction. And so,
and then directly after that, like what was so perfect, where I'm like, you can't write these shows. You know what I mean? They truly are unscripted. We have this whole sweet, very beautiful moment. Whitney fucking walks up and is like, can I talk to you, Mary? And Mary literally goes, she looks at Sharif and whispers, pray for me.
I loved.
You couldn't write it. You couldn't fucking
like
write it.
That moment. Pray for me. I was like right after the conversation about our church. But wait, we have to, because this is that segment leads into an issue with Jeannie. But when Mary first arrived, she stood there and she was talking to someone else. Jeannie was at the table, mm-hmm. probably like 10 feet, 15 feet in front of them. And then we have a confession from Jeannie saying, oh, it's very rude for Mary to come in and if she knows someone, not speak. When they were basically looking at each other and Mary was with someone at the time and Jeannie had that. And so I think that mm-hmm. pissed Jeannie off. And I saw a lot of conversation on Twitter, it being like the reason that pissed Jeannie off was because Jeannie thinks, and as we know now, what we know now about Jeannie, she thinks that she's like higher mm-hmm. than Mary or like more valuable or something like that about mm-hmm. Mary, and just to be ignored by a person that you deem as not to your stature, it can be offensive. And so.
Well, yeah. And then Mary said in her confessional, yes, I'm ignoring her. I sure am.
As you should. As you should. I was so happy. I was like, please don't. And Mary paid her dust the entire episode. And I loved every minute besides the glass smash.
Paid her dust. Oh. It was honestly cringe to just watch Ginny like make it a moment. And I think even if like she wasn't the person that she is and none of these like things that she had posted on her socials had come out, we still would have been like, this is so cringe. And you're trying so hard to like make this a moment.
It was desperate.
It was desperate. If the girl don't want to talk to you, the girl don't want to talk to you. And like, that's what it is. Then like throwing the glass, it all just seemed.
Yeah, but Cameron, even to the point of like literally Whitney is trying to have this conversation with Mary and Jenny's getting involved to the point where Whitney's like, stop, like putting her hand up, like, please stop. I'm having to trying to talk this out with Mary. Like, this is important to me. And Jenny just like couldn't because she knew she needed the screen time. But like before we get into really the Jenny stuff, we do need to talk about the fact that when Whitney went up to Mary and after she said, pray for me, Mary was like, you're drunk, Whitney. I can smell it on your breath.
I can smell it on your breath.
And Whitney's drag like, her.
Mary, it is a Vita tequila event.
I know that was hilarious. I died. Wait, can you do that voiceover for Whitney again about it was a Vita tequila?
Mary, it is a Vita tequila event.
It sounds exactly like her. Like,
Mary, can I please talk to you about what? Just give me a chance. Mary, just come, please come talk to me. Give me a chance. Mary.
No, okay. Mog, but also like to tie back to you when you were talking about how Heather and Whitney like have no sense of self or just like sense of like self-worth. I mean, I'm like, why does Whitney want to chase her down so bad for friendship? It's like, you know what I mean? I'm like, what are we doing here? This obviously Mary does not really fuck with you or care that much, but you're just like so desperate to be her friend. I don't know. I mean, people would say she's got the power of a Holy Spirit, allegedly.
Oh, I thought you were about to say the Holy Spirit.
Maybe she is God.
I legit thought Carol about to say she got the power of the Holy
Spirit. No, you can't say that because that's what Whitney's apologizing for. She says, I am sorry that I was talking about your church. And Mary says, why? Why did you do that? Why would you talk about it? And she said, well, because you put me down first. And then Mary rolled her eyes. And Whitney says, don't roll your eyes. And Mary says, don't validate yourself either. And I was like, fierce, Mary, yes.
No, I like that word. Yes, I did like that.
Clocked her.
I did like that.
So then that's then the moment that Jenny starts to like chirp in behind her. And Mary literally is like, shut up. And then Jenny's like starting to get up in her face. And then Mary does say, you know, that Jenny is getting hood on her.
Getting hood.
Which Mary. Come on, Mary now. Mary. Come on, Mary.
I did see something on Twitter that was like, Mary knew what she was doing. She was saying because Jenny like looks at a certain group of people probably as less than or as hood or as ghetto. Oh. Mary was kind of like baiting her or like, you know what I mean? Might be like, no. You know what I mean? Oh, you're being this. You know what I mean? You think this is less than, this is what you're being, you know? I don't know.
I mean, like I've oftentimes felt as though Jenny's actions when she becomes upset, I feel like it's an act. Like the way that like, and I don't know the true Jenny. I mean, the true Jenny bruised or fractured her husband's ribs or something on her body. I mean, that's like the true Jenny, right? Didn't she say that in her confessional or something like that? And
she did. Yeah, she did.
Yeah. And I always was like, anytime that she's like yelling at Mary or just like, you know, starting to get turned. I always feel like, I don't think this is authentic. And I feel like it's produced. And that's what irks me amongst other things with Jenny. Yeah. And I don't know if Jenny was drunk in this manner, but when she stood up and was like, no, Mary, don't like, you're going to say it to my face, things like that. And then Mary eventually gets up and walks away. I did like that. Mary was like, okay, Whitney, come on, come over here. We can talk over here.
Yeah.
And then Here Jenny comes again. Like, she's looking for an issue. She just can't
drop it. Chasing her. Chasing her.
And I guess they knew it was the finale, so a moment had to be made. And Jenny was like, I'm going to make that moment, mm-hmm. and I'm going to make it mine. It was very disgusting of you, Jenny. Very childish of you. Very, what's another negative synonym to go with those words?
Thirsty.
Thirsty.
Thirsty. Revolting.
Thirsty. Yeah. And I thought Mary getting up and walking away. And can we say that as many times as these ladies have referred to Mary, I know Heather has said it. I'm not sure about Whitney, but I know Heather has said it as being aggressive. I feel as though Mary at multiple times when things start to, I don't think Mary's a fighter. I think she fights with mm-hmm. her words. I don't think she's like, all right, yep. you know, let me get in your face and type of fight. I think she's the type to sun someone. And so when those moments happen, I think she does disengage and walks away just so nothing will get to the extent that it gets to. And it was a moment, I replayed this moment because it was circulating on Twitter of when finally, you know, Mary walked away from Jenny the last time before she threw the glass. Heather was pointing at Jenny saying, go get Mary. Like, go back over there. And she did the hand movements. And I re-saw this clip. I was like y'all are provoking. And I think that's what gets Jenny turned even more. I mean, like, cause she was saying, don't walk mm-hmm. away from me, Mary. Don't walk away from me. And then she got super close and threw the glass, which is fucking disgusting. And that was a weak ass glass throw.
Yeah. Well, she threw it on the ground. She didn't throw it at Mary. She threw it on the ground. And Mary, not saying that that makes it any better, but she knew she was just trying to make a moment. Like you said, it's thirsty. And then Mary immediately walks out of the venue. Like the glass is thrown. Mary turns around and is like, goodbye. Walks right out of the venue. And as she's leaving, she's muttering to herself as the cameras are following her. We've got a maniac on the loose.
We've got a maniac. That was so. Like, let me get out of here. It was, but like, mm-hmm. in the, just the fact that Mary's confessional after that was that no one came to see her after the fact. And then she did say in the after show that Seth did come just to see. She was like, why Seth? Like, why did he have to come and check on me when I was leaving? Like, mm-hmm. these girls, they want to know why I don't like being around y'all. I want to know why I don't like Jenny. Like, y'all want to have me in this group in a sense, but like, y'all, none of y'all really like me. Whitney's apologizing, but y'all aren't doing things to be supportive of Mary. It was just effed up. And I felt bad for Mary in that moment.
I mean, Mary at the end of this episode walked out of the venue and, you know, walked into our hearts in a way. She was so great on these two seasons. Now, not me making this into just like a full like Mary eulogy.
No, right? I love it.
Now I'm like going into the me eulogizing her. No, this season, it gave me what I needed. Like, there were some high highs, some low lows, tons of drama. I was a happy viewer. Like, I mean, of course, sad because I know that we're losing two people. Potentially a third when she goes to prison, if she goes, when she goes. and so I think I'm nervous for like the fate of the show and like what's going to be happening in the future, because it has been so incredible for the last two seasons, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think... No, you got it, Maggie.
Go ahead, Jacob.
No, you got it. Okay. No, Maggie, you got it. Maggie, you got it.
Okay, no, go. I've got it.
No, okay.
No, Jacob.
Okay, I can't remember. I've been nervous about the duration of Salt Lake City for a while, especially when Mary was no longer coming back. I was like, oh, like, how is this going to continue? Because bad weather can't keep an audience. Lisa Barlow by herself cannot keep audience. I mean, Meredith engaged this episode and I loved it. Meredith shows every time that she's in a conversation that she's not scared of none of these ladies, especially Jen Shaw. Like, the way that she can go, we didn't talk about that scene. I want to circle right back to that scene.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
To that scene where they were after Mary left, the other ladies, they came to a table, and basically Jan wants to know, like, are Meredith and her friends? And Meredith has, I think, stayed consistent in this notion. I think some of Meredith's actions have been like, okay, we can be cool. They've been drinking. We can be cool. But I don't think that still means, oh, after like the liquor has subsided, we're no longer together. I don't think I'm going to like pick up the phone and call you X, Y, and Z. So Meredith has stayed consistent with saying, Jan, I cannot be the friend that you need right now. Or basically, I can't be a friend to you.
She's being real to her.
And I can understand that, because if a person like, if I felt that one person that I let in my life did the things that Jen did to Meredith, and Meredith felt that type of way, I'm still like, yes, I'm working with you, but I'm not going to be like, oh, let's be best buds. If Meredith was hurt by the situation, was obviously hurt by Jen, I don't think that no one can pressure her to. I think she has forgiven her, but I think like emotionally, I can't put myself back into that place that we were once in. And I think that she feels like as though the other ladies are forcing her to do that, and Jen. And Lisa said in the after show that she feels like Jen is groveling for a friendship with Meredith, and she doesn't know why. And I just don't get the point of why do they have to be friends? Jen and Mary weren't friends, but they were also breaking that point down too. So it's very confusing. But Meredith engaged this episode at the ending moment.
I think Meredith makes Jen insecure.
You said that before. I think that's true. Yeah.
And so I think that it's like little sister, but I think that's how it is with Lisa and Meredith too. It's like little sister to her. They all see her as this like cool, gorgeous, fun, with it, classy woman. And like, I think that they're all like secretly jealous of her. All you have to do is listen to Lisa Barlow's projection rant on the hot mic to understand that like, that's the case, you know?
Yeah.
So Meredith got, I'm not really sure how we got to the point where she started talking about, like, you were talking about my marriage to Jen.
Well, cause Jenna was saying,
again, this is why. Yeah, this is why I like keep fucking can't with Jen. Like, Jen sucks. She's like, well, Whitney was the one who was saying it. Like, no,
and Whitney, like, you see how I get drug into this? Like, Whitney's like, hold on, don't bring me into this.
I mean, Jen is a full-on narcissist. Like, we do know that. She is a full-on narcissist. Yeah. You have to be.
Yeah. But the moment that it got brought up, because Jen wanted to go back and say, well, I didn't really like, I said, oh, sorry about the husband thing, the marriage thing. And Whitney also, blah, 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 and Meredith was like, I don't want to rehash this. Like, me and my husband are in a better place. Like, I don't want to talk about this at all. And I think that's the moment that she was like, all right, fuck this shit. And I'm out of here, you know? And before she had the explosion of, do y'all want me to talk about who all of y'all have dated? And I was like, please, Meredith, clock them hoes. Literally do it.
And we got that confessional of her in that orange shirt saying, well, yes, I have heard about some of the women's extramarital affairs.
I love your impression. I love your impression of Meredith. Because you do the mouth thing as
it's
well,
which bad. Is
so fun.
Yeah.
I love
that. Well, she only talks out of one side of her mouth. Like, exclusively. But like my impression of Meredith is like not good if there's not like a grounding word in it. Like, if she was like, I have heard of the families of the women. Like, family is like a very grounding
family,
word.
Yes,
revolting is a very grounding word. Like, if that's not in there, my Meredith version is like, you said once Owen Wilson.
Oh yes, I did say Owen Wilson. I did. But, then a moment, I will go sing Meredith's praises. But at the beginning, it's so funny because at the beginning of the season, I felt I wasn't, I mean, as you go around a season, you grow on people. But another moment that I liked is when she was leaving with Seth. And she was like, yeah, me and Seth have dated other people. And it just walked out. I loved that. I was like, yes.
And period. You know why? Because they did. It was all above board. Everybody was okay with it. It was an agreed upon thing. Why do the women talk about it like it's shameful? What's shameful is what the Uber driver was insinuating about Jen on that podcast. She asked the Uber driver to call Coach Shaw and lie to him about her location, and he dropped her off at an undisclosed condominium and picked her up 3 hours later. That could be shameful. The fact that Meredith and her husband went through a separation and reconciled is not shameful at all.
Period.
I had no idea that the Uber driver that they were talking about in this season was on a podcast.
Oh, my God. Yes. Maggie gave a complete rundown about what happened. Yeah.
Okay. I need to listen.
A listener sent it to me, whose name I can't remember right now. I'm so sorry. But a listener sent it to me and was like, you need to listen to this. It's the Uber driver. I was like, amazing.
I think what's so funny is we always forget like all these extemporaneous players. Just dropped that word, extemporaneous, kids.
Very hot.
Extemporaneous players, like, they also are real people and have a story. And, like, it's always going to come out. Like, your skeletons are always going to come out. And I think that's what just kills me. When people come on the show with shit in their fucking closet, it will come out. Because it just will. Like, it can't not at this point. It can't not. Oh, that's so exciting. I can't wait to listen to that.
Fix it, Jesus.
Fix it, Mary. So, Jesus, Mary.
So the season has ended. We've concluded the ultimate episode and the finale episode. And now we're moving on to the reunion. And in the taste of what we got from the reunion, it appears like it's the people versus Lisa Barlow.
And it's, I'm here for it.
The people versus Jen Shah. It's the people versus Lisa Barlow. But how many times, Jacob, did we get on this podcast and say, what the hell is Lisa Barlow going to do at this reunion?
No. And
like,
if you remember, I, at some point, I think it was like the halfway point, I was like, I hope Lisa Barlow gives it to these women. I hope she like snaps on them, like talks her shit to them, X, Y, and Z. And I mean, that has quickly changed. You know, through her actions, I have not been on that same note, but it seems like she's crumbling under the heat and under the names and under everything.
I think I have a theory, and it's that she did not know about that hot mic. Nobody told her about it. And she found out with the rest of the world when she watched the episode.
A day before the reunion, too.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like she came in really off kilter because a day before the reunion, they put that hot mic in. And it seemed like, based off of the footage that we've gotten, like she was saying, like, you guys put that in there knowing how it would make me look, like talking about production. Like she was like going after production in the reunion versus like owning what she said. Because who says that? Like, Lisa, what?
My favorite moment also was Andy asking Lisa, do you actually think she's a whore?
that investigative journalism. You go, Andy Cohen. Give this man a Peabody, okay?
Literally.
I think what always just tickles me about Housewives when they say things or do things on the show and they think it's not going to make the air. I mean, Housewives has been on since, what, like 2006 or something at this point? Literally. Like, we know what you say and do is going to make it on the air. You know what I mean? Like, it's either going to be on the air, they're going to play it and talk about it in the after show. It's going to be on one of those like never before seen clip bits. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When they replay the episodes, like, it is somehow going to be out there.
Yeah.
Anything and everything you say. So, you know, you had a mic in your hands or on your body while you were taking it off. There was
and they had a boom mic in the room.
I mean, what do you expect? What do you expect? But it was like so great, though. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you, Lisa Barlow. Thank you. I am counting Lisa Barlow's in my sheep. I am counting Lisa Barlow's in my sleep. Thank you so much for everything that you've done this season.
But that's like, Cameron, what I was saying to... But what both Jacob and I were saying is like, if that was your best friend, you do not think these things about them, let alone say it out loud. Mm-hmm. My best friend, there is not a single thing that Lisa Barlow said in that rant that I have ever even actually thought about someone who is my best friend. Like, what a fake phony friend, which is why, and the fact that she's like, I love myself. I'm an amazing friend. Lisa Barlow is an amazing person. Like, that is why that's camp. Because, like, she believes it. And yet, she goes on literally a rant calling Meredith a whore who fucked the entire half of New York City.
Wait, do we also hear Jen Shaw make reference to, oh, yeah, Meredith had, like, fucked all the guys in the Upper East Side? Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, so this did. Notion is going to continue. Like, what are we doing, ladies and gentlemen? What are we doing? And I'm pretty sure if Meredith did, Jen Shaw, she would not confide in you regarding that information. So how the hell would you find out? Well, allegedly, you know, about the two boys, they was dealing with the same man. Remember that tea that yeah. Whitney wanted to stir up? But yeah, I was like, come on, Jen Shaw, do better. Because there's already allegations about you and your marriage, sweetie. So let's not go there again.
Mm-hmm. I think we should go to the Upper East Side and just start knocking on doors. Just knocking on doors.
Let's do passing it.
Out, like, have you ever met this woman signs? Like, have you seen this woman? You know what I mean? And see what we can find.
Questionnaire. Set up a booth.
And then bring in our Brooks Marks tracksuits.
Exactly. Exactly.
And with our Vita tequila.
Fully. Gosh. And like, and we need to get them on the pod. You know what I mean? Like, we need to find them and get them on the pod. Yeah. Yeah.
That's actually a brilliant idea.
Oh my god, that's amazing. That's amazing. No, but when we do all hang out, which we will, yes. We'll all get drinks. We will get drinks on the Upper East Side. Because that's the only spot that we can go.
We have questions.
And we will. Yeah, we do. We gotta talk to some of these men.
And to give it a little Roni throw-in, we'll go to the Regency Hotel.
Oh, anybody that's ever
I've been dying to go. That's where Luann and Tom, that's where they met, but then they found out that Tom was cheating on the Regency.
Gosh.
So we have to go. That's where we have to go.
We have so many questions.
We have so many questions. I want to ask that bartender. We need to bring the bartenders on the pod. How often does Tom come here? Anyway, that is not what we're here for. But, you know, I had to give a little tidbit for the Roni listeners.
I love it.
Oh my God. That is so funny. Okay. So I'm not sure. Do you guys have anything else that you want to talk about this episode? Looking forward to the reunion. Anything? Sorry, we didn't do the official, you know.
Oh.
Tea time. But we already sort of talked about the reunion overall. We talked. Mm. You talked about the after show. It was sort of put throughout. Is there anything else we want to talk about?
I think something that just puzzled me, and I said this at the beginning, but I just feel as though they were. Heather, this is a tidbit. This was on a preview for the reunion. I just want to throw this in there, just a little teaser. Heather said at the reunion that she garnered a lot of respect for Mary watching the show. And I honestly feel as though Mary not going to the reunion, I think a lot of the women there, and I just don't understand the switch up. Like, I get you can watch the show and feel a type of way or not feel a type of way, but y'all were on Lisa Barlow's like ass the later part of this season. Well, like, yeah, go get X, Y, and Z. And now, like, this switch up happenings where she did call y'all like a polygamous cousins or something like
that. Well, I think, but that's the thing, Jacob, is that, like, we've been saying all season, like, in her confessionals and some of the really underhanded stuff that she's done, where, like, we can see that she's being underhanded. Like, what's she going to do at the reunion? Because I don't think that, like, she fully understood the breadth of Lisa Barlow's deception, you know?
But I feel as though when she was making those comments, they weren't, like, the best of friends. Like, they weren't like they were towards the end of the season. And so when you do confessionals, I do want them to say, how did you feel at that moment? Like, speak your mind at that moment. And if that's, like, you have a shady thing to say at that moment, do it. But I felt as though as the season progressed and they did start to have a friendship and Whitney and Lisa started to hang out, they started doing activities. And then we, you know, Heather and Lisa and whatnot. And I feel as though they started to look out for each other. And I feel like Heather was like, oh yeah, you need to figure out what's wrong with you and Meredith. You need to bow to that whole situation. First off, Heather is concerned with every other friendship. The one she needs to be concerned about is why her best friend called her Shrek. That's what you need to be concerned about, Heather. Stop worrying about if Mary and Meredith are friends. Stop worrying about how they're friends. Stop worrying about Lisa and Meredith being friends. That annoyed me. But yeah, Heather did say that she garnered a lot of respect for Mary. And I just kind of want to envision if Mary would have went, how that would have shaped out. Because that Jenny situation of social media would not have been out there at that time. Probably someone knew, but I don't have any inkling to believe that. But so it's just all these different things.
Jacob, your energy just now was giving me what you will know is he needed $10 to get him a medium-sized pizza.
So he ejaculated in a cup so you can have a kid.
So check that.
I hate that moment so much because it goes against my fave and I hate it, but it is iconic and I have to
give that you were giving me now. Check that energy. I was like, Jacob, you're getting a little buck right now.
That was very funny. I love that.
I thought you would appreciate.
Oh my. Yeah.
Hey. Anything else, Cam?
No, I was going to say. Or? I mean, I think overall, I just want to give like a hats off to the ladies. It is really hard to like do the Housewives, and there are so many franchises at this point. You know what I mean? Yeah. But this, they've been able to bring us something new and different, and like stand on their own two feet. And I just want to cheers to all of them for a fabulous season two. I'm interested, intrigued, a little nervous about season three. But this is, it's brought me so much joy. I mean, we have only had Salt Lake City in the pandemic. It's just like really crazy. So it's been like a really great pandemic joy for me. And I hope it has for everyone else and for you all too.
Yes. Cameron, where can people find you if they want to check you out on social media after the pod?
If you want to find me, I am at Cameron Mullen on Instagram, CameronMullin. I think my Twitter is Cameron Mullen with the number one at the end of it. I basically created like a bot Twitter account for many years. I would just enter lotteries in New York for like Broadway shows. And like, it's like, if you tweet it and you'll get like three more entries for the lottery. And so
I'm dead.
And then I was like, maybe I should just actually use this Twitter. And it's truly only Housewives things. But that's where you can find me. That's me.
Yes. And Jacob, where can people find you if they're interested?
You can find me on anywhere on social media at JacobJ_Jones, Twitter, every other place. And I'm trying to think, do I have any other things going on? No, I think that's it. I'm on the recap for tonight's episode, but this podcast will be out tomorrow. So if you do are a Big Brother fan and you see me on there in a couple of minutes, my time, real time, then say hi. But yeah, I'll be on the Big Brother recap talking about the double eviction and super excited for it.
Yes. Okay.
Maggie, where can people find you and your beautiful self?
Yes. Oh, thank you. People can find me on Twitter at _MLMorgan and on Instagram and TikTok at @MLMorgan_. And also, we just found out that Temptation Island is coming back for a season 4 for next season. And we got the go ahead from Rob. So Kirsten and I will be podcasting about that on the Hot Dummies on Islands feed here on RHAP.
Have you done every four seasons, all four seasons?
No, we just did last season, season 3, and now we're coming back for season 4. But I do know a couple that's going to be on the show.
I saw you tweeted that, which got me excited.
It's wild. So I already like was looking at the singles and they're like, you know, like the great value version of like hot guys. Like if you were to describe the guys, you would be like, they're hot. And then you look at a photo of them and you're like, I don't think that they're very hot. Like these are like the single guys that are like meant to like tempt the girls, you know? But yeah, please check us out there, Jacob. We're going to have you on if you're interested.
Yes, I was really hooked on the first season of Temptation Island. I did not watch the second or third season. I was hooked.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like, I was passionately hooked on the first season. But I was never like in the loop of when the season was coming back on and stuff like that. So I never got back into it. But I will for this season because I like the concept. Also, for the Big Brother Live feed update, Maggie was on today and you looked so good. I only tuned in for like 30 seconds, but you looked so good. I was like, wow.
That is so funny. I felt like I looked bad. Like I immediately went and took a shower afterwards. That's so funny. No. Thank you very much.
Well, I made dirty, stanky, you know, I don't know.
Oh my God. Wait.
I didn't have worms on me.
Oh, okay. That's not as tempting.
Go ahead, Cam. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say maybe we can save this for offline, but I do want Jacob to drop one of the skincare routine for the girls and also the hair care, because my curls do not pop like that. I got a hat on because they look insane. I wish you guys could see. Y'all just need to follow Jacob just so you can see his hair. These curls are gorge. I need to know.
Thank you.
I need
to know.
Yeah.
I'll show you my product.
You'll drop it for me later.
Yes. I have like one product that's like I live by, but yes.
Okay, well, we will see you guys later. Jacob's got to run so that he can watch the episode to podcast about. But we will see you next week when we talk about the first episode of the reunion. Okay, love you guys. Love you, baby. Bye.